to part two of our disease episode for July. For this section, we're going to be talking about disease management in brassicas or coal crops.
At Extension, we get a lot of questions about disease management in brassicas specifically, and so that's what we decided to talk about this month. We'll have some more episodes in the future about disease management in other crops. And so this week we are talking to Michelle Grabowski, who is a plant pathologist with Extension, and she works in horticultural systems. All right, so Michelle, how are things going this year in 2018 for disease management in brassicas, and when should growers be out scouting? What should they be looking for?
Well, we had a bit of a late start to the growing season thanks to our late cold system coming through, and many growers put their brassicas in the ground probably later than they would have liked to. What we're seeing now is a lot of rain events coming through. And so this is a really good time of year to be out and scouting your fields and looking for some of the disease problems that we start to see. And there's a couple different diseases we've seen over the past couple years that seem to be thriving because of the regular rain events. So in particular, black rot, which is a bacterial disease, and it's caused by Xanthomonas campestris, and it infects all of the different brassica crops. So we see that it is splashed around on rain. Another fungal leaf spot disease is gray spot, or sometimes it's called Alternaria leaf spot. And both of those are plant pathogens that will infect the foliage of the plant and can eventually move to the head of cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, or even Brussels sprouts and cause damage when you are ready to harvest. So it's important to catch these early in the season, and there's a lot of good preventative work that needs to be done to keep them in check.
Can you give just a brief description of like the symptoms that growers should be looking out for with those two diseases?
Sure. For black rot, what we'll see, that's a pathogen that moves first in from the edge of the leaf. And so you'll see sort of a dull yellow area around the leaf margin at the very edge. And eventually this grows into sort of a V-shaped lesion with the point of the V pointing down at the heart of the plant. And the edge of that V will be yellow, and the leaf tissue in the middle will be tan. And the real characteristic symptom that you're looking for with black rot, if you look at that leaf really closely where you have that thin, dead brown tissue, the veins inside that tissue will be black. So that's where the pathogen gets its name, because the bacteria will actually move in from the edge of the leaf and move into the veins of the plant. And as it infects those veins, you'll see that discoloration. And that's pretty characteristic of black rot. Gray spot's a little bit different. What we'll see with that is actual leaf spots. So since they're blown on the wind and splashed on the rain, the spots can occur anywhere on the leaf. They're randomly distributed. They tend to be round and either tan or gray in color. And if you look at them closely, you'll see pretty clear rings, kind of like a target or a bullseye, that the fungus makes as it's growing out through that leaf tissue. And what we see with that disease is as we get multiple leaf spots, they can grow together and we'll have large gray-brown patches of dead leaf tissue because so many leaf spots have formed in one area. And sometimes that tissue becomes so fragile, it just rips and we get holes in the leaves from the infection.
Okay. So if you are in your field and you see some evidence of these diseases, what are some management techniques you can take after you've already seen some symptoms?
So the first thing you want to do is make sure that you have a good diagnosis and you know which of these plant pathogens that you are dealing with. Black rot, being a bacteria, is sticky. So that means it can be easily spread on our hands, on our tools, in addition to being splashed around on the rain. So we want to be aware, if it is black rot, that we want to be careful working in those plants and then cleaning our hands and cleaning our tools before we go and work in a part of the field that does not have the disease problem yet. Because both of these are spread by splashing water, if you're using irrigation, if you can use either drip irrigation or time your irrigation so that the foliage stays drier for a longer period of time, that can help. Unfortunately, what we've seen in recent years in Minnesota is we have these really regular rain events. And although we can take steps as growers to manage our irrigation, when it rains every other week or every week, it can be really difficult to get ahead of these diseases. We are doing some research here at the University of Minnesota this summer, looking at if it is effective to remove infected black rot leaves, and we'll hopefully have some information about that by the end of the growing season, because that is a pathogen that can then spread down into the plant. But we do need to be careful. We're not sure if it could move into a wound that was created by removing a leaf. So hopefully we'll have some more research information about that. But yeah, watching irrigation, making sure that you do what you can to get good air circulation around the plants. That's going to be making sure your plants have good spacing, using a mulch to prevent splash from the soil onto the plant's foliage. And then really also making an effort to control weeds. Both of these plant pathogens will go to wild brassica species in addition to our cultivated brassicas. So we want to make sure we're doing a good job of weed control and pulling those out of the field. One of the things that we see with both of these diseases too, they both go to all of the different brassicas that we plant. And so sometimes what happens is we'll see early infection on a very early season green, like a bok choy or a Chinese cabbage. And if the infection starts on those plants, maybe the grower harvests what they want out of that, but there's a few infected plants left in the field or just some wrapper leaves that are left in the field that are infected. You want to make sure those are incorporated into the soil as soon as you're done harvesting off that plant. If they're left above ground, then that same rain splash is going to move it into your longer season brassica crops or your fall brassica crops. And we've seen that happen where a spring brassica will then provide the source of the disease for the cabbage and the cauliflower and the broccoli that are planted later on. So if you have those early season crops, till them underground, and then the composting microorganisms that naturally occur in the soil will start to break those down. And simply by being underground, you'll have a reduction of the amount of disease spread on wind and splashing rain.
Okay. So then in terms of thinking about next year and kind of getting your fields ready to prevent diseases next year, if you have disease this year, it sounds like doing a really good job of tilling things under, not leaving residues, would help you. Do you
Yes.
have any other suggestions?
Right. So at the end of the season, whether it's early in the season, middle of the growing season, or the end of this year's growing season, preparing for winter, plant residue, we want to get it underground as soon as possible. And then we want to make sure that we're rotating away for 3 years from brassicas on that site. And it is important to know which all of the crops are brassicas. We often think of cabbage and cauliflower, but there's also others like kale and radish and turnips that they are also susceptible to these diseases. So making sure you go to a completely different plant family, like one of the squash or cucumber or something like a tomato or a pepper that are going to not be able to support this. And then in the rotation period, again, it's important to control those brassica weeds, because just because you don't have a brassica crop on that site doesn't mean that there aren't other wild brassica species, wild mustards, shepherd's purse, and other wild brassicas that the pathogen can survive on. And also thinking about cover crops that you might be using. Some of the cover crops include mustards, include things like tillage radish. And again, they're brassicas, and so they can actually be a host to some of these pathogens and allow it to survive in your field from one season to the next.
Okay, so it sounds like a lot of the advice that you just gave is relevant to both organic and conventional growers. I guess, would you have different advice for those groups, or would it be pretty much
right
sanitation?
In both of these, in black rot especially, prevention, cultural control is really important. Copper is the only product that would be effective, and it's only mildly effective in that it will slow the spread of the pathogen in your field. Once that bacteria has moved into the plant, the copper is not very effective. And so copper slows it down. It's not really a great option. And so really what we want to do is focus on those preventative practices. And although it's too late this year, a really important piece of that preventative equation is making sure that you have clean seed. And so black rot, the bacteria that causes black rot, can infect the seed and be carried into your field. And because it comes in on seed, it can start an infection very early and then spread from there and have devastating effect later in the season. So my recommendation to growers is check your seed catalog and your seed supply company. What I have found is that they often don't list in their seed catalog whether their seed has been tested to be disease-free or whether it is treated to be for these particular pathogens. But if you contact the company, call their customer service line, or use the online customer service chat, they're often able to provide information. And there are seed companies that are testing seed lots to verify whether the pathogen is present or not. There are companies that are doing treatments like a hot water or a steam treatment to make sure that the seed is clean and healthy when it comes to you. And some companies don't treat unless you request it. So it's really worth your while to get to know your seed rep and talk to someone at the seed company to learn about the health of the seed that you're purchasing.
Yeah, that's really good advice. All right, so let's actually shift gears a little bit and talk about one other disease that is affecting brassicas, which is club root. Can you just give kind of an introduction to club root, what it looks like, what it does?
Sure. So club root's an interesting disease. It's caused by an organism called Plasmodiophora brassicae. It's not a true fungus. It's actually more like a slime mold. And that's important because it means that a lot of our tools that we use for fungi and managing fungal pathogens don't work very well with this pathogen. It lives in the soil as a very long-lived resting spore. It can actually survive for decades in the soil once it's brought in. And those resting spores will germinate. They'll infect the roots of the brassica plant, coming in at those root hairs. And when the pathogen moves into the root system, it stimulates the plant to create many more plant cells and much bigger plant cells. And so what that looks like to the grower is when you pull up that plant, the root system is all bulbous and distorted, and there's really unusual overgrowths on it. And above ground, what happens is because this root system has such unusual growth, it doesn't do a good job of pulling up water and nutrients. So we see plants that are stunted. We see plants that are wilting. Plants may have nutrient deficiency symptoms. So as you're out scouting your fields this summer, if you see plants that look like they're doing poor, they're wilting even though the soil is wet, they're particularly stunted, they seem to have some nutrient deficiency symptoms, make sure you get those plants out of the ground and take a look at their root system, because we want to know, is it really a nutrient deficiency symptom where we can send a soil sample into the soil testing lab and fix that with the appropriate fertilizer, or do we have something going on with the root system? Club root is pretty obvious to see. Once you clean the soil off of the roots, those big bulbous kind of overgrowths, they're hard to miss. A healthy brassica root system should be a nice fibrous root system, unless we're talking about...
They're kind of discolored, right? They're almost like brown, orange.
It depends on what stage of the disease it is. Okay. So we actually pulled some up just recently from one of our sites we know is infested. And all of the bulbous growths were just brand new, and they were clear, white, healthy tissue. But as they age, again, this isn't normal, healthy tissue. And so that tissue is going to start to crack, and we're going to get some secondary rot organisms in it. And that's when we start to see discoloration. And as that root system breaks down, thousands of spores are released back into the soil. So once it's on the site, it can be really difficult because it can survive there for a long time.
So how widespread
is club root in Minnesota? And is there like a certain type of soil that's maybe more susceptible? Or
right. So that's a really good question. This is actually a question we've been trying to answer. There are some early reports from back in the 1950s of club root occurring in Minnesota, but there hadn't been recent reports in recent years. And so the Minnesota Department of Agriculture has actually been looking for club root in brassicas, and it has been identified in Ramsey County. If you do suspect that you have club root, I would recommend that you send a sample to either the University of Minnesota Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic on campus, or you contact the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And they do have a hotline called the Arrest the Pest Hotline. You can, I believe, send an email and send them a picture if you have a suspected case of club root in the brassicas, because they are interested in learning the distribution of this pathogen.
And do we have any sense of what the source of it is? If it, like, there are just soils where it already kind of existed, or if it's coming on seeds or transplants?
So it can't, we don't know that it moves on seed. It doesn't seem to be a seed-borne pathogen. It can move on contaminated soil, on equipment, infected plant material. And so it's believed that it was originally transported around from Europe, where it's believed to have originated, to other countries on turnips that were, or other brassicas that were brought over as livestock feed. And when those were placed into the soil, then the pathogen remained. And so thinking about what you're bringing into your farm and what you're putting into your soil. If it's compost, do you know the source of the compost? Did that compost get hot enough to break down all the pathogens that were in that compost? Are your transplants ones that you're growing yourself? If they're transplants that you're purchasing, how are they grown? Where are they coming from? You know, what are the reassurances that they're going to be healthy transplants when you bring them on your farm? And then if you're using equipment or sharing equipment, making sure that before you bring that equipment onto your farm, that that equipment is washed off and, you know, soil and residue is left behind. And so you're not bringing something into your soil from somewhere else.
Right. And so for club root, you mentioned it can last decades in the soil. Does that basically mean if you have it, you can't plant brassicas in that field anymore?
It means once you have it, it'll be challenging to work with brassicas. There are a few little tricks. We know that this is a pathogen that does not like higher pH soils. And so raising the pH of the soil with lime to 7 or above will actually reduce its ability to infect. Rotating away from brassicas for 5-6 years will help reduce the amount of club root that's in the soil. And then there are a few resistant varieties that are available. And again, we're going to be testing some of those this summer to see how they perform here in Minnesota. And we'll hopefully be able to get some information out for growers about that in following years.
Right. So maybe we'll follow up with another brassica disease podcast early next year. All right. So I guess let's just wrap up with some kind of overall takeaways for brassica disease management.
Okay. So I would say the most important things with the brassica diseases are starting out with clean seed, making sure you're talking to your seed suppliers, you know what the seed is being tested for, if it's being treated to eradicate pathogens in the seed, taking good care of your transplants so that they're healthy and strong. Once you have good clean seed, you want to make sure that you're putting them in a transplant house that's weed-free and the benches have been disinfected and you're using clean soil and clean potting mix, things like that. Now that we're in the field, keeping an eye on those plants and scouting so that you catch disease infection early on and get a good diagnosis. If you do see plants that are in the field that are doing poorly and you don't have a good explanation for that, pulling them up and submitting them to the diagnostic clinic on campus, looking for other signs and symptoms that can help you figure out exactly what's going wrong with it, because the management is going to vary a little bit from disease to disease. Then just making sure you do a good job of taking care of getting rid of brassica weeds. rotate away from brassicas for 3 years before coming back to that site with brassicas. And if you've got that kind of progression of brassicas through the season, making sure, especially any disease-infected brassicas, but all those early brassicas, once you're done with the harvest, getting any of that plant residue integrated back into the soil so that it has a harder time moving to your longer season brassica crops.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to part 2 of our July episode of What's Killing My Kale. Tune in to part 3 for a discussion of a newly discovered disease that's affecting grapes in Minnesota.